Yolda, and welcome to another episode of Render Radio. It's exciting to have you here with us, and I'm so grateful that you choose to listen in. And I pray and believe that this would help you lead and live your life in ways that really advance you into tomorrow and be excited about what God has purposed you and designed you for. Today's conversation is an exciting one. It was with Grace Whedon. At the time, Grace, if we go back 12 months, had become a first-time mother. She was also pastor, leader. She has a very entrepreneurial spirit. And as a young woman traversing marriage, leadership, and motherhood in the midst of a lockdown, I pray that it inspires you today, it encourages you, and gives you something to think about as you journey your life. Join us as we speak and talk with Grace Whedon. All right, kia ora koutou. Welcome to Render Radio for this Monday evening. Birdie loving the awkward smile there, my brother. How are you?
I am pretty good, bro. Thank you.
We're going to welcome in Grace Whedon, the beautiful and wonderful Grace Whedon. Let's bring her in now.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
Good, good. I'm excited for tonight. Thanks for having me. It's going to be good.
It is going to be good. And we thank you, no pun intended, or maybe, for gracing us presence. I'm sure you haven't heard that one before. But no, we are really appreciative of you making the time. We know you are not just involved ministry-wise, I suppose as a working mother, but as a, like I've just said, a mother as well, to a beautiful little baby boy and wife to Kyle. But you know, maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself first, your whānau, some of what makes Grace Grace, and then we'll have a bit of a conversation around youth, lockdown, ministry, and all the in between.
Sweet, sweet. So my name is Grace, as you all know, but I've been married to Kyle, my husband. Babe, come here real quick. Come here. Let's come here just quickly. He's like, no, I'm like, you can't not, because it's him here. Oh, hey, brother. What a guy. Hey. He's watching.
Good stuff, bro. Good to see you.
So I've been married to Kyle since 2017, and we just had our little one, Joshua, end of July last year. So that's been really exciting. I've been in youth ministry now for around 9 years. So that's been a long time being in ministry, but it's been really, really, I was going to say awesome, but I want to be real. It's been a roller coaster. It's probably the better word, up and down. But yeah, and what else about me? I'm Indian, half Kiwi. Actually was born in India, and then I came over here. My parents are missionaries, so and I've been at church loving Jesus for most of my life, really. So yeah, and this is where I've ended up on your radio station tonight.
It's all led to this.
Yes,
this moment you were born. Hey, saying that though, your family, obviously you come from a pastoral family as a mm-hmm. pastor's kid. And while that's not the real context of this conversation, that obviously throws up some challenges, right? And I mean, and your dad is not just the pastor of Connect Church there in Kapiti. I mean, he obviously leads the New Life movement, and you guys are heavily involved in New Life. But for you, what would you say would be some of those real interesting insights or maybe even challenges that us as pastors' kids sometimes have to face?
I mean, just living life in general was a challenge, because I think we just tried to be kids or teenagers, whatever stage of life we were in. And my parents were pretty chill. They were pretty, you know, guided us, led us along what way they thought was best, and encouraged us in what they thought was best. And there would always be things that we would do that I think other people would get upset and say, oh, pastor's kids shouldn't be doing that. And the crazy thing is, most of it we didn't know about. We didn't know people were upset. My parents were our protectors. They shadowed us really well and dealt with those things. But there was always that thought, if I do this, who's it going to affect, and how's it going to make my parents look? So I think that was always a bit of a challenge growing up, being a pastor's kid. But as we got older, we were just like, you know what, we're just human. So we've got to be on our own journey. We've got to learn it ourselves. So
absolutely. And obviously being a pastor's kid, you're heavily involved in the church and mm-hmm. their ministry becomes your ministry. Okay. And even if we don't have a choice, we didn't choose it mm-hmm. by default, we it becomes, like you said, it's our life. We don't know any different. So with that mm-hmm. being said, youth ministry, I've seen you operate in youth ministry. I've seen you in all your glory as a great youth leader, doing some amazing stuff with youth camps and all sorts of different things, even just locally with youth. What age was it that you really started getting involved with youth, and what was it that drew you to youth work?
I don't know. I think 15 or 16 years old, I kind of started really getting into youth, trying to help out. When I first started going to youth, I had no friends. My sister was my only friend, and she was like, can you just back off and stop following me? So I served from like the age of 13 on the youth canteen. We sold chocolate bars and cans of Coke, and straight away I was like, this is my calling. I love this. This is so much fun. So when I was older, I actually went away to Australia for 6 months and did a discipleship training school. And it wasn't until I came back when I was around 18, 19, that I discovered I was really passionate about young people. So that was kind of when I was like, young people have really incredible potential, and I think I want to help draw it out of them. And that just started with me with a Bible study. One girl wanted to have a Bible study, so I had a Bible study with one girl. The next week, 15 girls turned up. The next week, there was 30 girls in my house. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is really, really cool. And so something inside me was like, this is exciting, watching these girls open up their Bibles, read, discover. Mm. So for me, that was kind of like a trigger, I guess, to like this whole journey I've been on with youth. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you say there that all of a sudden, and we know it's not always all of a sudden, but you started seeing people turning up. You started seeing them wanting to discover something, whether it was about themselves or about their life or about their passion and their purpose. What do you think are some of those things that, you know, we're talking about young people now. What are some of those struggles that they have from your experience around their own, whether it's finding their own passions or finding their own identity or just trying to discover what it is that God has called them to do with their life? What are some of those challenges that you think young people face, or from your experience you've seen?
From my experience, the one thing I can say is every single young person is completely different. So they could be struggling with the same thing, but it could look completely different. And I think, nowadays people would put it down to anxiety, depression, stress. Like, so many young people deal with things that when I was young, I didn't even hear those words. So now it's all of those things they're dealing with. But I think it comes down to family environment is a huge thing. The homes of where they're being raised has got a huge impact on them. And friendships is a big one. If young people have friends around them that are influencing them, I don't always think it's the loudest voice in a young person's ear. Sometimes it's the most consistent voice, the voice that they're hearing the most. You know, it's not always the one that's in their face. It's the one that's just always there. And whoever's always there, if it's us that are saying, hey, you're awesome, hey, how are you doing, then that's the one that's going to influence them the most. But if it's a friend that cares more or is more invested into them, that's where the influence is going to come in. So I guess for me, I've just learned every young person looks different, so we approach them all differently because they're all struggling in their own way.
So on that, I mean, why do you think, because you've raised something, this whole idea about presence, because being present, especially we're talking about young people now, being present has so much sway or influence on young people. Why do you think that is? Because, I mean, the comment you made about it's not necessarily the loudest voice, it's the one that's most present, is the one that actually has a lot more influence. Why do you think that might be from what you've seen and experienced so far?
I think sometimes, right now anyways, loneliness is a huge thing. Like, you can have so many friends and be completely lonely. I've experienced that myself, where I've felt completely lonely, and yet people think, man, Grace has so many friends, and I'm like, oh, you don't know the half of it. So because I felt like that, I just feel like right now our presence in a young person's life is important, because there are so many young people, whether it looks like they've got a lot of friends or not, they actually can feel so alone. And so we can't just assume that, hey, these young people don't need us in their life, they're not listening. We've just got to do our best at loving on them, at being there, at being present when they text, rather than just, you know, I'll sort that out tomorrow. It's being present in that moment because we don't know what they're going through. Maybe the, hey, what's up, is actually a little bit more. So it's learning in that moment, how can we be present? How can we be there for them?
Because, I mean, to that point again, popularity doesn't always equal meaningful relationship, right? So a person, especially a young person, can have so many people around them, and it might be because they're a talented singer, a talented athlete, because they've got this, they've got that, and it garners a lot of response from people, but they can be in the middle of all of that, feeling somewhat isolated. So for the youth worker, for the youth mentor, for the person that's wanting to work with youth, what would be your encouragement around if they're seeing these, you know, how in terms of how to work with these young people, seeing some of the silent cues, what would be some of your advice to them around what to look for, what to notice? Because we can quickly assume that they've got lots of people, so I don't need to be a voice. They probably don't want me around. What would you say? What would you encourage them to look for, to do, to be?
My biggest encouragement, I don't know if it's a what to look for, and I encourage all our leaders with this, is to just like listen, like actually listen. Don't just try speak and encourage all, like encouragement's really good, totally, but listen to what they're actually saying. Because if we're ready to just encourage and just, hey, you're awesome, you're this, you're that, sometimes we don't always listen to what they're saying. And so my biggest piece of advice is when a young person is speaking to you, listen to what they're actually saying before you go on responding. And sometimes listening doesn't even mean responding. It just means, hey, I'm really sorry you're going through that. Tell me more. Tell me, because sometimes that's all they need. Everybody else is telling them how to live their life. Everybody else is telling them they're no good. Everybody else is speaking into their life. And sometimes they just need someone who's going to listen. So I would encourage, listen first of all, and then keep it simple. Whatever you're saying to them, give them something to work on. I always do that. I'm a very practical person. I'm not the most empathetic person in the world, but I am very practical. So I'm always like, hey, that's really sad that's happening in your life. Hey, what can we do to move forward? What can we do? How can I help you? So I would always say listen, and then give them something they can work on. Young people are good when you give them something to work with, rather than just, you know, encouragement is good though. I'm not saying don't encourage young people.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's good. And I mean, again, so if we move that along, and we're talking about the challenges that we see that for the majority of young people right now, in your time having worked with youth, what were some of your, I suppose, your highlights? And then we'll jump to what are some of the opportunities that you can see in that youth space, even still today. So first question is, what in your time across youth, Grace, what have been some of the highlights for you? What have been some of the moments that really pulled on your heart and got you excited? Some of the wins that you saw happen in youth ministry?
Yeah, for me, some of the wins, probably the biggest one is seeing young people that would come in, and you'd have your young people who were just too cool, and they just like not want to listen. And then a couple months down the track, they're the young people up the front, they're worshiping God, you know, other kids are asking them for advice because they're up the front, they're like yes and amening to everything you say, and they're kind of becoming leaders. I guess that's been, for me, the most rewarding thing to see. I think back in the day, if you'd have asked me 4 years ago, I would have said the biggest reward was when we had 150 young people. That would have been what I would have said. But for me now, it's like when a young person walks in that was insecure, that was shy, that was uninterested in God, who's now, you know, wants to study the Bible, wants to pray for people, wants to talk to people about God, is completely confident who they are, that would be the biggest win. Over the whole time for me, it's just one life at a time, seeing them change.
Nice. And what was the catalyst for you? You said 4 years ago it might have been a different thing, it might have been a different win, but now it's obviously this win here. What's been the catalyst for the shift?
So this is what it's been. We would have moments where our youth group was huge, and and numbers wise. And what I realized is that those were after youth group, like, wow, 150, 200 kids. Wow, this is amazing. And we'd say that after the night was over, but they were the most stressful youth nights simply because we would have fights break out. We would have just kids throwing balls across during praise and worship, you know, people talking through the whole message, everyone's shushing everyone. So, like, even though in numbers it looked successful, in photos it looked great, the fruit of them weren't always great. There was a lot of, you know, you could have had lots of salvations that would last the night long, but they wouldn't last much further than that. So now for me, it's seeing the consistency in someone's walk that has come and carried it out day after day after day, rather than one big night that really took off.
Yeah, and I appreciate the honesty on that, Grace, because I think that so many people, youth ministries, ministries, church, focus on, and I get it, we, you know, growth is important numerically, but it's those real spiritual things that turn, and as they turn, you want to, you know, we want to see lasting change, right? Mm-hmm. And so on that, again, you've seen that shift, and that's been your shift. What do you think have been some of the catalysts for those changes in young people when the salvation, what's been it where the salvation has lasted beyond the decision on the night versus I actually want to journey this thing? What have been the key, whether it's things that a mentor has done or wraparounds or supports or just even the person themselves, what have been the key change catalysts for those young people?
I would say one of the main ones is just relationship. So when a young person turns up and they get connected in with a youth leader or another young person that's on fire, and you know, they're not just being messaged to come back the next Friday, but they're being talked to, how are you doing this week, let's catch up, that's been a huge turn point. There's that saying, nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care, and that's a huge thing for young people. Young people, just first they want you to care about them, and then they're going to open up, then they're going to start to listen, then you can influence their lives. So that would be a main one. And the other one is, I reckon, just young people that have had an experience, an encounter with God that they're like, I can't deny it. It's just real. It's just happening. I've got to press into God. I would say those are the main two things. There's also young people that are just, they get there and to them, they're like, this is logical to me. And I'm just going to press into the word. And God makes sense to me more than anything else. And so I'm just going to keep on turning up on a Sunday, on a Friday, on a Wednesday if it's at a Connect group. And that for them has been the thing that has, you know, kept them coming.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. And I think that piece of advice cuts across any sort of, whether it's youth, kids, and adults, young adults, it's all relational. You know, you build relationships and you build that relational capital with people. It gives them leverage, something to build off in time, and it's sustainable. So that's fantastic, Grace. And now, I mean, if we shift tech a little bit, because we've got a whole lot of questions that I want to get to and ask you before you depart from this part of the show. But before I get there, I just want to ask really quickly. So you sort of had a bit of a transition out of youth work recently. And you've been focused in another area. Maybe just give us some insight into what that is now and how you're enjoying that.
I'm currently enjoying kids ministry. I know not many people would say that, but I actually said to a friend a couple of weeks ago over FaceTime, I said, ministry with kids is my dream right now. I love it. I spent the whole of lockdown each morning at 9 a.m. reading C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe to a whole bunch of kids on Zoom. And I was like, man, I just love hanging out with kids. That happened actually the same way that it happened with youth. I kind of saw a need and I was like, I think I could take this to the next level. And then I just immersed myself in it. So that's what I'm doing right now. I run the kids ministry at Connect Church.
That's awesome, Grace. And, you know, again, I'm sure I was able to see some of the fruits of the time we were with you guys. Connect, see some of your work ethic and the fruits of your labor. I'm sure you're making just as much, just as many inroads and impact in kids ministry. So, look, we've got a whole lot of questions here. We're going to start pulling in, and we'll just ask you a few. And then what we tend to do is, because if there are too many for the segment for the time, we tend to pull them in and then flick them to you later, and then we actually answer them back later on in the show and in the post. Yeah. We put them back up. So here's the first one from Taryn. What's been the most crazy thing you've done with the youth?
I don't know what the craziest thing is I've done. That all-nighter was, I would class it as awful. You know, it's one of those things you're like, this is going to be great. And then 20 minutes and I was like, this sucks.
Why?
They had all the energy. No. And I was just like, and we said no falling asleep that night. We're like, you fall asleep, guys. We're going to draw on your Facebook Vivid. And I was so tired. I said, right, guys, we're going to have 1 hour of sleep. Everyone gets to sleep and no Vivid, okay? So that'd be the craziest thing.
You can bend the rules when you need to, right? When you're the leader,
that's fine. Amen. All
right. Kemi asks, advice to someone who is shy to speak on stage. And she says, obviously not her.
Practice. Just practice. I mean, I used to be so scared. I remember crying once because I did a preacher. And then they said, oh, we're going to get you up to MC. And I just cried. I was like, please don't. I don't want to ever be on the stage again. So it's all just a practice thing. The more you do it, the easier it gets.
That's right. Great advice. And as long as it's not on my stage, you can practice as much as you want.
That's right.
No. From Natanya, what's some advice to other pastors' kids when it comes to communicating with their parents, more so in regards to personal struggles? Good question.
Talk to them. I don't know what everyone's parents are like. I guess it depends on the relationship with the parents. Personal struggles, every time I went through them, I felt sick unless I told my parents. So I would just sit with my parents and say, this is what I'm going through. And do you know what? It gets to the point of my parents were so forgiving that I never really hid stuff from them. Like I tell you guys a real quick story because I know that I can tend to yarn. I don't want to yarn. But I once had a craving to have a cigarette. This is not advice to anyone. And right. So I went out and I blamed it all on my dad. I was like, Dad, you used to smoke. Okay, the cravings are coming from you. So I went out. I went to a little dairy. There was a little Indian lady who reminded me of my mum. So that wasn't helpful. and I bought it and I had a packet of a whole cigarette. Hiding in the car park somewhere. And then as soon as I done it, I went and hid it in a park and I went home and I walked straight in the door and I said, Dad. And he was like, what? And I said, I've been smoking cigarettes. And he's like, and I was waiting to get told off. And he just said, oh, how was that? And I was like, it's stuck, Dad. And I've hidden them in a park. And so it was just, they were always not so forgiving without discipline, but they always just understood us. They listened to us and they always forgave us and kind of talked us through things. So I would just say, be open, talk to your parents about things. It's the best way. Never hide anything.
That's great. And you know, I laugh a little bit because I chuckle at your dad's response because that's such a Pastor Adam thing to say. How was that? I can just imagine him saying that to you. That's awesome. From Ose, what have you been taught by young people yourself through leading them? What have they taught you, Grace?
What have they taught me? Patience. I don't know. It depends on the young person. I've been taught a lot of things. I've been taught that I don't know it all. I've been taught that I'm not a compassionate person. That sometimes just because something is not our strength doesn't mean it's something that we shouldn't carry. Like I said to you, I'm not very compassionate. And you know, when you're a youth pastor, that's not something that is really optional. You have to be compassionate. So I think I've learned how to be compassionate from being a youth pastor. So that's something I would say young people have taught me. And they've also taught me that they are more capable sometimes than we realize, and they're smarter than what we think. For sure.
And probably it's something to be in support of that comment too, Grace, is, I mean, in the time that I have known you, what I obviously have picked up is that you're a very, so we use the word compassionate, and you describe yourself as not at the time being quite, but what you are is a very passionate person. So whatever it was you'd put your hand to, you'd be so focused and driven to do it. And that passion came through. That obvious, it's sometimes passion can look, can look like it's lacking compassion to other people when they have to be driven and pushed and nudged. So I think it's that understanding where you're at a phase of life too. And I think that's important in terms of your context, because I know you're such a passionate, driven And we need that. We need people like that that really drive it. But it's also great to be able to reflect back and think, yeah, you know what, I've need to learn that compassionate side of me. And I know that ministry has definitely taught me that as well over the years, because I'm very similar in my drive. So I get it. I understand. We've got another great question here. Who have you looked up to growing up, and who do you look up to now?
Ah, you know what? I would pin it down to my parents. Literally, my parents is just who I looked up to. I mean, how I would raise my child is how my parents raised me. So I would just say my parents, I've looked up to them in the way they've done ministry, in the way they've done their relationship, in the way they've loved on other people. They're very different people, my mum and my dad. And so I'd say I'm a nice mix of the both of them. But I've definitely looked up to the way that they've lived their lives and gone, that's what I want to do. Yeah,
yeah,
no doubt.
No, that's great. That's great, Grace. And I think we need to give it up to all pastors and parents that have been pastors. It is definitely not an easy thing. It's a calling, definitely. So, you know, and now I obviously understand a lot more walking in the shoes, and so would you yourself. Let's answer JP's, and maybe we'll have time for one more after this. Do you find it hard to relate with the youth of this generation compared to, makes you sound so old and you're still young, but compared to 9 years ago?
Honestly, yes. Totally, 100%. I say to people all the time, my friends have started telling me off because I'm like, man, I'm so irrelevant right now. Like, I talked about getting a TikTok on Instagram and got people to vote, and I couldn't even spell it right. That young people were like, that's not how you spell TikTok. So I was like, I don't know if I'm cool enough to be a youth pastor. But yeah, I do. It is different. Young people are different. I think every couple of years, it's like they're completely different in what they believe, how they see life. So I do find it hard, but I love a challenge. So. Mm. I'm up for it. Yeah.
Great. And we have got a few more questions. We've got one more. How was it pranking your parents on TikTok with the water in their pants? That was a goodie. A lot of people saw that.
And that was awesome. Loved it. I loved it. That was actually Kyle's idea to do that.
Ooh, here we go.
And he was too scared, and afterwards he's like, oh, I should have just done it. But it was great. I did it to Dad, and then Dad was like, keen ears for me to do it to Mum. I was surprised that they didn't get upset with me. They just, you know, played along with it. So, yeah, no, it was good. I loved it. I tried to think of something that was just as good later, but, you know, I haven't thought of anything just yet.
No, that's great. And even in that video, I think even Ruben's face when he's sort of realizing what's going on, and it all dawns on him. It's a bit of a great watch and a good laugh. But Grace, we really appreciate your time. It's been a really good conversation. It's been really nice to see your face and to see Kyle. Good to see you, brother, as well. But yeah, we just want to say God bless you. Thank you again for giving us your pearls of wisdom, sharing us your experience and being honest with us. That's been really, really helpful, I'm sure, for people tonight.
Well, that was our interview with Grace. I pray and hope that you enjoyed that, you took something out of it, you laughed along, you learnt along with us. We have many more interviews to come, including, excitingly, some new interviews that we have been having and recording over the last few weeks. We're excited to bring those. Until then, stay safe, link in, connect with us, follow us, subscribe, share this podcast, because we believe that it changes lives and gives people something inspiring and encouraging to look forward to. My name is Cliff Thompson. I'm also lead pastor at The Render Gathering. We are The Render Gathering, helping you become.